Live from Nashville, Tennessee, this is the Living Room Sessions on the Equestrian Legacy Radio Network. Welcome to the premier edition of the Living Room Sessions. We'll be bringing the experience of a live concert with amazing performers to you in the comfort of your own living room or wherever you are. I couldn't think of a more talented performer to kick off the premiere of the Living Room Sessions than our first guest, the multi-talented and award-winning Miss Joni Harms. Hi, Joni, and thanks for being with us today.
Hello, Gary. It's so nice to be here, and I'm truly excited about this new idea of the Living Room Sessions that you're doing, and mighty honored to be the first guest.
Well, I could not think of a better person, as I said before, but right now, Joni, I'm going to just kind of sit back and listen to the concert and turn things over to you, and I'll be back with you in about an hour. So, Joni, take it away.
Thank you, Gary. Well, that first song you opened up with is a good one for me to kick things off with, because my early years were very much about cowboys and rodeos and future farmers of America and all those wonderful things. And, you know, I did actually 6 years of different rodeo queening. And so I was very much a fan of cowboys and cowgirls and the talents that they have in the arena, and just some of the most genuine people you'll ever want to meet. A lot of the folks that I met way back when I was just starting out to perform are still fans and friends, and they will book me at a concert anytime they possibly can. So I do have a weakness for cowboys. And, when I was Miss Northwest Rodeo, I wrote and recorded some songs. That was my very first CD that I ever had out, called Thoughts of You. And, that was a scary time. I thought, I wonder if anybody will ever even buy one of these things after I make it. And, of course, that was even some cassettes then. But we did all right. We sold enough. And, like I said, a lot of those cowboys and rodeos supported me and my projects and my dreams of music. to the point where I started this really making a career of it, and that's what I did after high school, to started a band, and we played at a lot of rodeos, some bars. I always did try to stay away from that so that I could really focus on my songwriting, because I've loved writing songs ever since I was just a little girl. And I was playing at a resort at Black Butte Ranch, which is in Sisters, Oregon, a lovely place. And I was playing in the bar there, and these folks came in, and they sat and really listened the first night. And then, by golly, they came back a second and a third night, and I sat down at the table and visited with them. And one thing led to another, to the point of where they said, you know, we really think you have something here, and we would like to help sponsor another album for you. So I ended up going into just Portland, Oregon there, and played some of my own parts, and had a few other musicians come in, and we recorded an album called I Want to Sing for You, and continued to play a lot more shows. And that was, of course, not only something to sell and make a little extra money at, but it was also a tool that I could use to send out to other fairs and, you know, in different states and things like that, where I could say, this is what I do, this is what I sound like. And so that went on for about a year, and things just continued to get bigger and better. And that same couple that sponsored that album said, I think we need to go to Nashville. And this wasn't my first trip to Nashville. I'd been there a few times been to the Opry with my mom and dad, and, you know, always just big dreams of getting there someday to try to be an artist myself. So when they said they thought that they wanted to take me to Nashville and see what we could do, I was, of course, on top of the world. And we went there, and lo and behold, I got acquainted with Byron Gallimore, who, as many of you know, has produced all of Tim and Faith's things, as well as, oh my gosh, lots of other huge country artists. And he'd been working some with some artists that actually was Blake Mavis was early George Strait producer, and he's the one that actually suggested Byron for my project. So we went in and we cut four songs, two of mine and two of some other artists' music that I thought was fantastic. One of them was called Bluer Than His Eyes, which later became a single for me. And we recorded those songs, and then the idea was for Byron to try to shop them to a label for me and see if we could get any attention from that. Well, I was all excited once we finished this four-song demo and want it to happen right now. Well, time just went on and on, and nothing was happening with it until probably about 6 months later. Byron called and said, you know, I was out playing golf with my attorney, and he said that he would like to listen to some of the music that I have, because he had a game coming up with Mr. Jimmy Bowen, who, as a lot of people know, huge man. I mean, Frank Sinatra, George Strait, Reba McEntire, the list goes on and on of all the people that Jimmy Bowen was involved with their careers. And so Byron called me and told me that, and I said, well, for heaven's sake, yes, do that. And so he played several tapes for his attorney friend, and luckily mine was one of the ones chosen. And if Ralph Gordon was the attorney's name, and if he won the game that day, then he was going to be able to play his music for his other players on the golf game, which included Jimmy Bowen. So that's a weird way of finally getting my music in front of the Superman, Jimmy Bowen, but that is exactly how it went down. And I was fortunate enough that, like I say, Ralph Gordon won the game, played my music for Jimmy Bowen, and Jimmy Bowen had his staff at MCA Records call and ask if I could come in for a meeting with him. And so this was about late December. And I went in and visited with Jimmy Bowen, and he asked me, I remember so very well, to play four songs of my own and four songs of some other artists that I really enjoyed and liked. And, of course, silly me, I didn't even bring my guitar to the studio where we had the meeting. So he said, well, since you don't have a guitar, hear Steve Warner's, go ahead and play new songs on Steve Warner's guitar. And I was so thrilled that I was actually playing Steve Warner's guitar that I wondered if I could even play. But I did, and then it was early March before I ever heard anything back from the label. So I had pretty much assumed that I didn't do well enough to get anything happening. And so I was, of course, over the moon happy when they asked if I could come back. And I met with them, and we signed a contract, and I got really excited because they said, you know, now I want you to write with some other songwriters, which I had never done before. I'd only written songs by myself. So I got the chance to meet people that I would never have dreamed of getting to meet. And one of the very first ones was a guy by the name of Dan Tyler. And Dan and I were talking on our very first meeting together, and he said, well, you know, you got a lot of things on your plate right now, really, don't you, Joni, with being, you know, just trying to be out here making music. And I said, yeah, and a lot of my friends are married and having kids. And I said, I don't know how they do it. A lot of them come up and tell me they need a wife. Well, there it was. We both kind of looked at each other as soon as I said that and said, there's our song. So we wrote the song, I Need a Wife, which ended up being my first single out on what they decided to start a new label only by Jimmy Bowen called Universal Records. And that was my very first debut with a national record deal. And it'd be great if you would play that for us right now.
Up every morning, 4:45, put on the coffee and wake up the kids. For 15 minutes, I'm a short order cook. And then I face the mirror to see how I look. And I look a little tired. But the clock says 7 and it's time to go. I face the traffic and it's moving slow. It's hard to be a mama when you're working too. Sometimes I wonder how I make it through. But I do. I always do. I need a wife. I need another me in my life. A little help. So I could have some time for myself. Someone to do something nice for me. Maybe wash the dishes while I watch TV. I think I know what's missing in my life. Oh, I need a wife. I've got a good man, he does his part, and I love him with all of my heart. But there's some things a man can't do. It all comes down on you know who, you know who. Ain't it true?
You know, that song went up to 24 on the Billboard charts, and then my second single was Bluer Than His Eyes, that Byron Gallimore had introduced me to that song. I love that song, too, and it was also a top 20 single on Billboard charts, and my first opportunity to make a video, which we did out in Franklin, Tennessee, And what a thrill, you know. And then I had the opportunity to start doing some shows like Nashville Now, that one Ralph Emery had, and just things that meant the world to me. Got the chance to play the Grand Ole Opry, which there's hardly a bigger thrill I've had in my life than that, I don't think. And just standing in that circle where so many great legends have stood and sang is amazing. I've had the opportunity to do that several times since, but it is never short of amazing experience. And so those songs did pretty well for me, but the album, unfortunately, didn't get released so people could get it because there was some friction going on with Universal and MCA Records. They were housed in the same building. So Jimmy Bowen decided to take over Capitol Records, and so they wanted to wait and release my album once I got moved over there to Capitol Records. And that took, several months, almost a year before we got moved over there. And then I got sent into the studio with James Stroud, another great producer, to what they decided I needed to do was freshen up the album so it was a little more ready to go, I guess. And so we recorded a couple more songs, one of them being a song called Tear It Up. And that finally got released. Same time, Garth Brooks with Friends in Low Places, and golly, I don't know how many others out there. And unfortunately, it seemed like it kind of got lost in the shuffle because there were just so many artists having material released at the same time on the new Capitol Records label that Jimmy had. And so they decided they needed to skim their roster, and I was one of the ones that got let go. And I thought that was the end of the world for a period of time. But, you know, as one of my songs, Cowboy Up, which we might do a little later, is what we need to do in life with just so many different things, not just music. It's about being able to, you know, when you have a lose your job or whatever it is, you know, we need to say, well, you know, that's unfortunate, but life needs to go on. And so I just kind of made a couple of albums on my own in that interim time. I did a Christmas album, and I did an album called Whatever It Takes, and it was doing fine, you know, because really a lot of doors had opened for me by having that national record deal. And so I got to start playing overseas, and I got invited to play places I would never have had the opportunity to go had it not been for that exposure I got with the record label. So I was very happy with all that. And then I didn't have a songwriter deal at that time because that was kind of part of the thing that I'd signed with Jimmy Bowen. And a dear friend who is still a better friend now than he ever was, a guy by the name of Tom Long, who had signed me to ASCAP early on in the days, was running Ann Murray's publishing company. And he contacted me and said, I think I'd like to talk to you about being a writer for Ann's company. So, of course, I jumped at that chance and went in and had a long meeting with Tom Long. And he signed me and said, I have a few people that I'm really excited about putting you with to write. I think you'll make magic. And one of those people was a fellow by the name of Hobo Jim Verhoes. And by the end of the first day we wrote together, we'd written Long Hard Ride, which many of you know, and a song called Harm's Way that I would record and title an album of mine down the road. And I don't know what the chemistry, you know, was about the two of us, but it just seemed like we were cut out of the same mold with our thoughts. And to this day, he's not only a dear friend as well, but he is one of my go-to songwriters every time I'm in Nashville, as long as he's in town. I mean, he just is amazing. And so thank you, Tom Long, for signing me to Belmer. And I wrote there several years and recorded another album called Are We There Yet? Because my kids were traveling a lot with me right then. And Olivia would have been about 8 and Luke about 6 when I wrote and recorded Are We There Yet? Which is a song that another dear go-to writer of mine, and I even have him writing songs with Olivia now, is Mr. Wood Newton. And I told him about this idea for a children's album because I said, you know, there's not a lot of great kids' music out there, and I'm getting inspired by a lot of the things that Olivia and Luke do to write some kids' music. Well, he was right on board and thought it was a good idea, so we wrote Are We There Yet?
I'm buckled up here in the back seat. with my blanket and my friend Pooh. I've played with crayons, books and puzzles. I can't think of one more fun thing to do. Are we there yet? When will we get to where you said we're gonna go? How much longer won't you tell me? Are we there yet? I've got to know. I wish my feet could reach the pedal. If I was bigger, I could drive, and I'd have a magic little button. When I pushed it, this car would fly. Are we there yet? When will we get to where you said we're gonna go? Feel my tummy getting hungry, and old McDonald's just up the road. My cup is empty, and I'm really thirsty. Please find a bathroom, I've got to go. Are we there yet? When will we get to where you
about right, and that's what a lot of people say even right now. I think, are we there yet? Are we over this virus thing yet, for heaven's sakes? But I guess the key is patience, and that's not always so easy to do. I know Olivia and I and lots of my musician friends are missing gigs and not being able to get out there and perform for people, but it's not just us, it's everybody that's missing out on their jobs. And thank goodness for the folks that are working on the front line to keep us all as safe as possible. But I believe that we're going to get through this, and we just got to keep our faith strong and pray and remember that this is not the very first time that America has been affected, or the whole world actually affected by something. There was times when World War I, World War II, I know the depression that my folks and grandparents went through was amazing, and they lived through it. And it comes and goes. It just seems to be a ride that we all have to go on, and it's not something we want or enjoy by any means. But like I said, I think keeping the faith and trying to be really good to one another and do the things we're supposed to do is going to help us get through it. So. My best to y'all out there on that, and then we're going to get away from that and go back into some more fun things. That album was good. I was still writing for Ann Murray's publishing company, doing some fun songs, and Tom Long, the gentleman I told you that signed me to her area to write and her production company, I said, I've got some songs that I've heard about a label called Warner Western, Tom. And he said, yeah. In fact, I wanted to talk to you about that. Do you care if I take a couple of your songs over there and pitch to them? Because right now they've got, they got the Sons of the San Joaquin. They've got Michael Martin Murphy. They got Red Steagall. And I don't know, but I think some of your music might work there. So I said, well, absolutely, please take it over there. And lo and behold, something even bigger and better came out of that. I ended up being the first female that they signed to Warner Western, and so I was able to make an album called Cowgirl Dreams. And it seemed like a dream to me, because as much as I enjoyed and learned so much at the Capitol Records, Universal Records deal, I really was given the opportunity to express who I was with the songs that I wrote. I wrote or co-wrote every song on the album. The Jeanette Norman, who was running that label, said, "I want to keep you as you are, and not, you know, let's get you dressed as the cowgirl that you are." And so it was really, really a wonderful album that ended up getting me a write-up in People Magazine, USA Today. It was chosen by the Tennessean as one of the top 10 CDs of the year. That album was really something to get to be part of, and that label. And unfortunately, right about the time that I got the word that it was one of the top 10 CDs of the year, and it looked like we were going to get a release on Warner Brothers' regular label with Two Step and Texas Blue, they decided to close down that label for I don't know what reason it was. I wasn't maybe getting enough sold or whatever, but that was very unfortunate. But another one of those things, time to cowboy up again. But I think I'd like to play you one of the songs from that album. And it's hard to choose because I was very proud of what we were able to put on there. But speaking of harder times and the depression and the things that I was talking about just a few minutes ago, there was something called the Sears and Roebuck catalog. And my mom and dad said that that was the way they shopped, the way they dreamed about what they'd buy if they had the money. And once again, my friend Hobo Jim Verhoes and I wrote this little song, Catalog Dreams. Doing again, only we're shopping on the internet now because there's no stores open. So Oh, boy. And, you know, I got to reach out. This is a perfect opportunity for me to say, too, that I was very blessed through those Warner Western days to start getting some more sponsors. Boy, Lucchese Boots has been great to me. Shorty's Hattery out of Oklahoma has really given me a lot of wonderful cowboy hats to wear. Wrangler has been there for me since I was with Northwest Rodeo in the band. Roper. Yeah, Stetson, you know, I mean, it's amazing. Bowling Silver has given me some beautiful pieces of silver to wear. And so, you know, it made me feel good that I really was wanting to represent the Western clothing as well as Western music, because not a lot of the female artists in country music are doing that. And so I just had abundance of people get on board to help support the way I wanted to try to look and dress. And so thank you big time to all those wonderful people. And as I said, right after things were doing pretty good on the Warner Western, they shut the doors on that. But just as the old saying goes, sometimes when one door closes, another one opens. I was offered a record deal out of Colorado with a company called Real West Productions. And Bryn Hill and Michael Martin Murphy, a few other, R.W. Hampton, a few of those people were also signed to that label. So once again, I was in very good company. And I've had a lot of great songwriter buddies now to write with, and wrote for Ann Murray's publishing company for, gosh, I'd say 5 years or so. But then got offered another opportunity to write for a publishing company owned by Charlie Daniels. And David Corlew ran that company, so I signed on with them and wrote several of the songs off the new album that I released on Real West Productions from that. And this next song that I'd like to play for you, I've had the opportunity to sing on the Grand Ole Opry many times. And it's one that I wrote for my folks' 50th wedding anniversary party and celebration that we had here on the ranch. And it's really still one of my favorite shuffles to get out and play and hopefully get folks dancing or tapping their toes to. It's called After All.
No one for me but you.
I wrote that song with Barbie Isham, and her husband Ken produced it. I'm not kidding you. Ken and Barbie is their names. And she's a great writer. And in fact, they even did some touring with me. He played lead guitar and she played bass, and they both sang great. So that was one of the several songs that Barbie and I wrote together as well. So we continued on, and I just continued to perform, and touring was good. We were getting a lot of overseas bookings, and I was enjoying that and very much, and started taking the kids with me, even giving them experiences that, you know, really not a lot of other occupations that a mom could have would provide that. I mean, they went all over Europe and lots of parts of Australia, different places there, which we love that. And so it was really a great period of time, and then that label didn't end up going as far as we'd all hoped it would either. But once again, a label in Texas, Wildcatter Records, from a beautiful cattle ranch turned into kind of guest ranch, decided to start a Western label as well, and I was their first artist that they signed. Mickey Dawes ran that label. He was also the president of the Western Music Association. And we got the opportunity to record an album there in Nashville, and it was so much fun. Once again, I chose and collected some of the best songs I thought would work for the album debut there. And one of the things that I've always carried with me through the years was some advice that Jimmy Bourne gave me when I first met him. He said, you need to have a variety of songs. You can have 10 absolutely of the best ballads ever written, but if that's all you put on an album, it gets pretty tedious. You need to have your listener be able to take a ride with you and go up, take them high, and then bring them back down with maybe a slow, maybe not so, you know, sad song type thing. And so that's definitely what I've tried to do ever since he told me that. And one of the songs that we cut on the Let's Put the Western Back in the Country CD was one called Cowboy Up that, again, Mr. Wood Newton and I wrote. And I had the opportunity to tour some with Chris LeDoux through all my rodeo connections and different things. And Chris heard this song, and I was very blessed and honored that he ended up putting it on his last album. And it was his last single released to country radio. And that song has also been on a movie called Adventures of Pepper and Paula, and I did a video on this song over in Australia that you can look up and find on my website if you want to. So a very important song in my career, and also one that, as I've mentioned it a couple of times throughout our show here, it's something we definitely need to do right now, and that's Cowboy Up.
Was the new kid on the circuit, gold buckles in his eyes. But the horse he drew was plenty rank, and much to his surprise, he did a double backflip, landed on his head. This old cowboy limped out in the ring, leaned over him and said, "You better cowboy up when you get thrown down. Get right back in the saddle as soon as you hit the ground. You've heard that the tough gets going when the going gets tough. But around here all we say is, son, you better cowboy up." By the end of last season, he was among the best, so he proudly called the girl back home, hoping she would be impressed. But her mama said she married the guy he used to call his friend. And before the first tear could fall, these words came back again: "You better cowboy up when you get thrown down. Get right back in the saddle. Going gets tough. Around here all we say is, It's the only way to go whenever you bite the dust. Better cowboy up when you get slowed down. I get right back in the saddle. Going when the going gets tough. Around here all we say is, son, you better cowboy up. Yeah, you better cowboy up. Everybody cowboy up.
Cowboy up, that's what we got to do, that's for sure. Well, you know, then that label ended up not working out either. They had David Ball and Reg Tego and I on there, and then Nikki passed away, and unfortunately of cancer, and things just weren't able to continue on that, so that was a very sad time as well. But, and then not too long after that, my mom passed away. And she was always such a supporter of my music, and we were best friends. I was 10 years younger than my brother Buck and sister Chris, and so it was really wonderful for me that my mom and dad were able to spend quite a lot of time with me, taking me to rodeos when I was rodeo queening, and support my passion for music. And my mom always used to say, there's nothing you can't do if you put your mind to it, Joni, and long as you are doing it under, you know, God's will. And also she told me something that has always stuck with me, and I think it's so true, and I'd love to pass it on to a lot of the young artists. You know, you never need to go tell somebody how good you are. You just let them make their own decision on that, and let them hear you sing, and if they like you, they're going to support you and like you a whole lot more rather than you telling them how great you are. And another thing she said is it's a gift from God to be able to sing. And, you know, we really are blessed to be able to get out. And because I know that you can really make an impact on people, and hopefully in a good way, by singing and maybe being somebody that young people can look up to. So I make it a real point to try to dress nice. And that's thanks again to a lot of my sponsors. I try to say positive things in my shows, try to write music that is going to maybe most, for the most part, you know, maybe make people's life a little bit better. And when they think about it, maybe it can help them through a tough day. And so with Mom's passing, I got inspired to write some music for a gospel album. And this song is definitely one that we need to think about. I need to think about right now. It's sometimes we do get afraid of what's in store tomorrow and just get a little unsure of what to be expecting next. That as long as we keep our faith and trust in God, we're all going to be just fine. So let's play a little That's Faith right now.
The song is called That's Faith. When I'm going to sell
That was off the live album in Ireland, and with the wonderful Sheeran Family Band, which we'll talk about here in a few minutes. But I do also have that album, That's Faith, and that song is one that, like I said, I think is important for us to listen to right now with everything that's going on. And, after I recorded that album, a couple years went by, and Olivia turned 15, and then when she turned 16, she said, "Mama, I really want to go record an album in Nashville." And I thought, well, you know, it's time for me to record another one, too. So I booked a studio and asked him if we could maybe have a little bit better deal, since I was funding this one, if we did two CDs at the same time. And so she went in and recorded her first 10-song CD, and I did Harm's Way, which... I want to do a song off of there, too. But, coming from this ranch, which was homesteaded in 1872 by my great-great-grandfather, it is almost 150 years old now. And it is a place that has inspired so many of the ideas for my songs. And my dad was a farmer, rancher, hardworking man. And one of the best things that I hear when I go out somewhere and people say, "Oh, you're John Harms's daughter," is what a great person he was. You know, would share a farm with other people and help out anybody that might need a little extra help one day. And boy, you know, those are some hard boots to fill, but I think it's wonderful boots to try to fill. And I love thinking that maybe sometimes through my music I'm helping some people. And this next song, though, that I think we will play off of the Harm's Way CD, which, by the way, is the song that Hobo and I wrote together that first day in Ann Murray's publishing room, is one we wrote together called Buddy and Me. And dogs, Hobo says dogs are angels, and I would have to agree. I have had dogs ever since I was a youngster and never been without one, hope I never am. In fact, they are usually the first ones to hear new songs that I write. Sometimes we'll even go out to the barn and sit on a bale of hay. I'll throw the cows some hay and say, "Well, you guys want to listen to a couple new ideas?" And boy, the cows sit there and stand there and eat and nod their head, and the dogs smile at me. It's pretty awesome. And they are there for you through thick and thin. And Hobo at that time had a dog named Buddy, and I had a couple of them already, but Luke was starting to bug me about a dog of his own, and he said, "Mom, I want a blue heeler this time," because we've always had border collies and Australian shepherds. And so I said, "Well, we'll see." And I kid you not, I just got back from Nashville after recording this album, and I got a call from a rancher friend over by Pendleton, Oregon, and he said, "I have this dog that just showed up here. It's a young heeler pup, and he said, "I don't know what to do with it. I don't need another dog." And he said, "I've been trying to find out if anybody from the area is missing one, and nobody is." So he said, "You don't know of anybody that might want one, do you?" Oh, boy. Well, the rest is history. He sent me a picture of who we now call Buddy, and he's still pretty much the little animal that runs this place. I'll tell you what, he is such a friend, and he's sitting here looking at me right now, in fact. So Hobo and I were talking about that and how dogs are such a part of our lives, and I think they are to a lot of people. If it's not a dog, it's some sort of an animal, maybe a cat or horse or something that you might be able to relate to. Buddy and Me.
My doorstep, shivering from the rain, a little lost puppy without a name. And who could turn down those big brown eyes that looked in my heart and said, "Let me inside." So I took him in, and it didn't take long for him to convince me where he belongs. The warmth of the fire and something to eat. Soon he was sleeping, his head on my feet. So I named him Buddy, and a buddy he was. He didn't know reason, he just loved me because. Right from
Always good for a lick when something went wrong. All through the years, whatever I do, you never saw me unless you saw Buddy too. And I named him Buddy, and a Buddy was. He didn't know reason, he just love me because right from the start it was easy to see there'd be no better friends than Buddy and me. He got slow and stiff and his muzzle turned gray. He seemed to know in heaven, I know.
Oh, the wonderful dog friends. I tell you, there's nothing better. And with this virus, I know Gary was just telling me a little while ago that he lost his Australian Shepherd just in March. And that is so tough because I know right now my dogs have gotten me through those moments where I feel a little insecure with all that's going on. And they know how to make me smile. And, you know, we usually have three or four of them around here. So if in fact, with Olivia's dogs and then Luke's girlfriend's corgi puppy that we have, there's six right now, six dogs. So how wonderful is that, eh? Oh, but speaking of that little bit of a sadder song, let's take you to the opportunity that I had to do a live album, and that was in Ireland. I had got an email from a guy by the name of Tom Sheeran in Ireland, and he said, "Joni, we're fans of your music over here, and my folks are getting ready to celebrate their 50th wedding anniversary, and they love your song After All and several other ones." And he said, "I see that you're going to be in Norway the end of June, first part of July. Would you by any chance be willing to come to Ireland and do a show with my family band to surprise them for their anniversary?" I thought, well, here we go. This is a complete trust of faith here. Because I didn't know who the Sheeran family was from Adam. I had never heard of them before. And thought, well, I don't know what kind of a band they'll be, but I've never been to Ireland, and I'd like to go. And I love the idea of surprising their folks for their 50th wedding anniversary, so why not? I'm already in Norway. Why not head on over to Ireland? So I did, and wow, they're such a talented band, all family band, and they play darn near as good as the opera band when I get to play on the Grand Old Opry with them. They are absolutely unbelievable group of people and players. And I had so dadgum much fun there the first time that I went that I got invited back. And so I went back again, and lo and behold, there was a third time. And so I went again the third time, and we recorded a live album with the Sheeran family band in a theater there. And Well, that was fun. Talk about pressure, though. Kind of like being the first guest on Gary Holt's show. A lot of pressure. But to do a live album, you know, you can't really have a second chance at anything you do on it. You really are right out there. Whatever you're singing and saying and doing is going to be on that album. And I remember, in fact, it was Buddy and Me that I was playing, and I looked out in the front row, and here was a guy pulling his handkerchief out and blowing his nose and dabbing his eyes and just really crying from the song Buddy and Me. And I thought, oh, I just about lost it myself. And I said, oh, I can't. I'm doing a live album. I've got to keep it together. So with that being kind of a sad song about Buddy and Me, I would love to choose this song that I wrote on the way from the place that I was playing at. I think it was the show that I'd done in England then, the third time that I was in Ireland. And I was on the flight over, and I said, I got to write a song for the title of this album that I'm recording in Ireland. So I did, and the band really took it over and ended up, you won't believe it, but the last song that they play at the tail of the song that I wrote is one called The Irish Washwoman, which is a song that my dad always used to play on his concertina accordion. And that was not planned. They just picked up on that and did it. So that was Dad from saying from heaven, I think, that I want to be part of this too, Joni. And so here's From Oregon to Ireland. So I wrote a little song called From Oregon to Ireland, and I think that's what we're going to title the CD now as well. And I might need my lyrics, but we're going to give it a go to play it for you right now, if you don't mind.
It's a mighty journey upon the sailing ship. Matey, once you touch the ground, you're glad you made the trip. Greeted by the folks who are reaching out to shake your hand. They say they're glad you come from Oregon to Ireland. I was told it was. You know that Irish whiskey to toast the one you love. Music makes you want to dance, and now you understand. That's why I had to come from Oregon to Ireland. Oregon to Ireland, you say, is way too far. But listen to my story while I sing and play guitar. My songs brought us together, and now I'm here to say. The Sheeran Family Band is why I'm here today. Sheeran Family Band is why I'm here today.
Sometimes that'll perk you back up after Buddy and Me, won't it? With a little bit of toe-tapping music there for sure. What a great band, and believe it or not, we got to be such good friends, and I just believe so much in their talent that as much as I love recording in Nashville and all the great, great people there, just for fun, a couple of years ago now, I guess it was, end of 2018, I was touring several places, Oregon, Scotland, Ireland, I mean, and France, and gosh, lots of great places. And so I took some extra time and went into Des Sheeran, the bass player and the producer of the live album From Oregon to Ireland, at a studio on his place. And I said, you know what, I'd like to record another album with you. This is a very special album to me because it's my 13th. And a quick story that is kind of a fun one about Olivia. When I was just about to have her, the doctor said, well, I understand you would like to be able to play a gig on the 15th of June. And I said, that's absolutely right. I said, it's a big show at the Portland Speedway with Ricky Skaggs and Clint Black and, oh, gosh, all kinds of artists were going to be there. And I was lucky enough to be one of them. And so I said, I just need to have this child in time to be able to do that show. And so he said, well, okay, if you haven't had it by the 13th of June, come on in that morning. So I did, and got checked into room 13. And things were going along just fine. And finally, at 1:13, which, of course, military time is 13:13, along came Olivia. And everything was great. And I took her to the show with me on the 15th, brought her out on stage and introduced her to folks. And she's pretty much been traveling and singing with me ever since. So that is kind of how Lucky 13 came about. And I said, if I'm ever going to get to a 13th CD, that's what I'm going to call it. And I want to record 13 songs for that CD. And so I talked to Des Sheeran about this, and his little studio is, like I said, on his farm. And so I got up, and then every morning at the loft is where I stayed, just above the studio. So all I had to do in the morning was get up and have a cup of coffee and go down the steps, listen to the chickens and the rooster crow outside, and record in the studio down below. And so that is where we recorded Lucky 13. And Luke, my son, I'm so proud to say, is taking over this ranch. He raises cattle, and he also works for John Deere selling tractors. He's 21 years old now and is just doing very well. They really like him, and he knows what he's talking about when he sells a tractor, because that's pretty much what he's known out here. And for some reason, he's kind of got the gift of gab. I don't know where in the world he got that. But anyway, since he is being a farmer now, and Dad was and Grandpa was, I said, there's got to be a song that I write on Lucky 13 that's about the farmers. And so this is what I came up with. God bless the farmers.
God bless the farmers, working 7 days a week. Lord knows without them, we wouldn't eat. The world's on his shoulders, still proudly he stands. God bless the farmers of this land. Start your day planting crops and feeding stock so you can fill your plate. They're out there on a tractor through rain and the sun, putting in an honest day of work that's never done. God bless the farmers working 7 days a week. Lord knows without them do all that they can.
Boy, now more than ever, God bless the farmers, huh? I tell you, they are keeping food on our tables through this virus, and in the stores, all those folks are unbelievable with all they're doing, and we thank you from the bottom of our hearts, that's for sure. And I also want to just say, any way you can support local businesses, restaurants are having a lot of takeout food or turning into kind of like a grocery store. I've heard some of them are selling, product there, and everybody's struggling in different ways. And I'm blessed to be out here on this ranch and have two freezers full of food in a area where we've got canned goods that we've canned from our garden and farm still. I try to still keep that going. And so we have plenty of food, but, not everybody's so lucky. So try to help out any way you can. And, I think about the folks that might be stuck in an apartment or something like that. Any way we can brighten their day, maybe give the gift of music. I'm so tickled that Gary has this show now where people can listen to this and hopefully it'll bring some bright spots. But, they're really also, I know a lot of people say CDs are out of style, but I love them. I love picking up a CD, holding it in my hand, looking at the pictures, seeing who wrote the songs, maybe reading the lyrics to the songs if they're in there. And so CDs are not out of style. Get yourself some, folks, through the websites, or I know there's also, ways you can download, and so you can get your music that way. But I know I really still enjoy when I look at my website and I see PayPal says, oh, somebody's ordered your CD and they'd like you to sign it to so-and-so or whatever. And so usually I'll write a little note and put in there with that. And I know so many of my friends in the music business would also just appreciate you download music. I know so many of them are trying to do things on Facebook. You're not getting anything for that. It's folks just doing it because they want to put a smile on your face if they can. And music does that. It's healing. Music is something that when you put it on, it can take you to another place and get you away from all this craziness going on right now. So let's support our musician friends and everybody else out there, folks. And with that, as much as I hate to see this this wonderful time with Gary coming to a close, thank you again, Gary, for letting me be Living Room Sessions artist number one. And I am proud of both my kids, Luke being a farmer now and Olivia following in my footsteps as a musician. Boy, as a mom, that makes me feel pretty proud. Two of the things that I'm most passionate about of all. And Olivia's ready to record her next album. In fact, we were scheduled to be there a month ago and record in Nashville. And because this virus came along and shut everything down, we were not able to do that and had to postpone it. And so she'll be watching for her. She's got some great new music coming up. And in the meantime, though, last year we decided to do something that we've had a lot of people ask for, and that was record some cover songs, because I love to write. She loves to write. So very rarely do we record other people's songs. But we've included these in some shows, and a lot of times people have asked who inspired me to write or sing. And in fact, on Lucky 13, there's a song I wrote about Merle Haggard. And another person who was always somebody I admired and their songs and always just such great country music with fiddle and steel guitar in there, which is so important to me, was Mr. Buck Owens. And so when we did the album, Our Favorites, which is, again, just solely cover songs of songs that we've loved through the years, I did the opening song with Olivia singing back up. What we did is flip-flop back and forth with her singing harmony with me or me singing harmony with her. And we did Together Again, which is such a beautiful country song, and then Love's Gonna Live Here Again. And I believe that we just got to get through this, and Love's Gonna Live Here Again. We're going to be out doing shows. We're going to get back out as normal as we can again after something as traumatic as this. And folks, again, just can't thank you enough for tuning in to this show, supporting our music, supporting me and Olivia and all the other artists doing something that they love so much, and that is music. So best to all of you, and let's do a little Together Again. Love's Gonna Live Here Again.
Together again, my tears have stopped falling, and the long are now what and nothing else matters. We're together again, together again. All the gray skies, they are gone. You're back in my arms. Right where you belong, and the key to my heart you hold in your hand, and nothing else matters. We're together again.
Today for the premiere edition of the Living Room Sessions. And as I said when we first started the show, I couldn't think of a more talented performer and a fun guest. Joni, thanks so much for being with us today.
Oh, I had a ball. Thank you so much. And hopefully we can do this and be together again sometime. And I do believe that love's going to live here again. Now we just got to get through this. Everybody take care of each other and we'll get it done.
Amen to that. But now, when you were talking about people supporting the artist, you did not tell us how we can get your music. So give us your website and tell us how we can purchase all of your music and follow your tour schedule, because eventually this will all open up again. So give us that address.
Absolutely. I'd love to. Well, mine is www.joniharms.com. And, of course, that's spelled J-O-N-I-H-A-R-M-S. Olivia's is olivia13.com. And we are both on Facebook and Spotify. And, my gosh, I mean, you can even ask Siri to download some Joni Harms music. What's the other gal's name? Alexa? Yeah, Alexa, play some Joni Harms. So, you know, pretty much all the ways out there, but I still enjoy sending out CDs. I know there's downloads on just about all the avenues out there. And we just appreciate all the support, that is for sure. And not only Olivia and I, but again, just, you know, so many other artists, we're all in this together. And so, you know, if you like good country music and toe tapping music, get out there and get you some.
Amen. Amen. Well, it's been a great first show, and we hope you've enjoyed it as much as I have. And next Saturday, we'll have Mr. Jim Jones joining us. And Jim is a great solo performer, as well as being part of the Cowboy Way Trio. So you want to be sure and tune in for the Living Room Sessions next week, when our guest is Jim Jones. And then we want to remind you as well that you can listen to the Campfire Cafe with my co-host Bobby Jean Bell and Saddle of America, and that's every Thursday starting at noon. Joni, thank you so much again.
Yeah, thank you, Gary. And I also wanted to mention that did you not say that this can also be on podcast whenever folks have time to tune in?
It will be, and you can listen at our website, and you can listen on Google Play and Apple iTunes, and there's several other ways you can listen to the show, but I guess the best way is to listen to our website, and that's at equestrianlegacy.net. Joni, I'm going to close this show out with one of my favorites that you do, and it's called Let's Put the Western Back in the Country, and you have certainly done that today. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Gary, and y'all take care out there.
All right, thank you.
Let's put the Western back in the country, everybody.
They used to call it country and Western. Could someone tell me where the Western went? Did it stray?
is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.